Welcome to the Shadow Hills Podcast. We would love to have you visit us at one of our campuses in Las Vegas or online at shadowhills.org.
Good morning, church. Good to see all of you today. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Brett, senior pastor here. And man, it's an exciting time to be a part of what God is doing. Last week was simply amazing, and Stefan shared some. You got to see some of the highlights, but kids coming to know Jesus, being baptized, and we praise God for all of that. I'm excited about missions in America as well. I hope you are. And we talked about serving our kids. We'll be highlighting one of our different domestic, if you will, ministries throughout this month. And I mentioned last week, I want to reiterate that just by way of leading by example and because we believe in what God's doing here at our church, my wife and I have committed to give over and above what we normally give. Now, we give online, like many of you do, so, you know, you go to that drop-down bar, and so last week we gave our general offering, and then we went back and gave again to missions. And so I encourage you to do that, especially if you're a part of our church family, whether if that looks like picking up an envelope and giving during one of the services or giving online, but let's invest in what God is doing. I want to make one other quick announcement before we jump into the word and finish out our hour together. But over the next couple of months, so in July and then in August, the last two Sundays, or the last Sunday, I should say, of each of those 2 months, so July 28th, 2 weeks from today, and then August 25th, we're going to have these special Sundays. I've been talking a while about my friend Brian Laritz, and Brian Laritz is going to be with us on July 28th. Brian is a great pastor, one of the best speakers and communicators I've ever heard. He pastors in the Silicon Valley of Northern California. He's going to be preaching all day that day, but we're going to be doing something special. So not only is Brian going to be preaching to us in the morning, and you won't want to miss it, but then at night, we're going to be doing something on July 28th and then August 25th that we call Summerlin Nights. And so during the evening service at 5 p.m., we're inviting everyone else to come back that was here during the morning to hear Brian preach a different message, all right? So it'll be a mini revival. Anybody remember revivals back in the day, all right? It's going to be amazing. So on Sunday night, we'll have a completely different worship set. One of our campuses will lead us in worship. Brian's going to preach an exclusive message that we didn't hear in the morning. And then after, we're going to have a family night. So we want you to invite friends, family. As soon as church is over, around 6 o'clock or so, we're going to go outside. We're going to have bounce houses. It's going to be hot. Somebody say amen. So we're going to have the snow cone truck. We're going to have hot dogs. We're just going to have fun. We're going to hang out together. And we're calling these things Summerlin Nights. We'll do the same thing the last Sunday in August. We have a special speaker planned, and we'll let you know about that a little bit later. But be gearing up to make a day out of it on July 28th. Come back for the evening service to hear Brian preach one more time. Well, in the last several verses of Philippians chapter 2 that my wife read for us this morning, Paul, the author here, almost curiously takes some precious room in the pages of Scripture to talk about a subject, the subject of friendship. And he talks about it in relationship to this series, this book, this theme of the book that is joy. Remember, Paul is writing from prison. He has been in prison simply because he's a Christian, simply because he was naming the name of Christ. And so he was imprisoned for his faith, and yet he had this deep-seated joy in Jesus. And one of the reasons we see was because of the relationships that he had with other people. And this is how he could maintain joy, often even in the toughest of circumstances. And it's pretty cool because here's what's so very true is that genuine, deep friendships are incredibly wonderful, precious things. Like this morning, I think you would agree with me. If you have more close friendships than you have like fingers, you know what I mean? Like if you run out of fingers counting up those friends to you that are true blue friends, then you are certainly a blessed person. Because, church, God did not create us. He did not hardwire us to live in isolation. He created us to live in relationship. He created us to live in community with others, not to be some hermit that just spends life alone, but to do life with each other. And I think this is what the writer of Ecclesiastes had in mind in chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Look at this. He said, two people are better off than one. For they can help each other succeed. If one person fails, then the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone, man, they're in real trouble. I think about that in relationship to my wife that read the scripture this morning. We've been married for 30 years, and I'm going to tell you that two is better than one. I think about a relationship to my brother Eric, who has preached here before. He's a pastor in the state of Arkansas. We planted a church together 25 years ago, and I was with him for about 17 years. He's been there ever since. God has done an amazing work. What we found out is that two, or even better, three or four or several hundred, were better than just one. And so this morning, I want to examine the relationship that the Apostle Paul had with two gentlemen. Did you hear Cindy read their names this morning? It was a guy by the name of Timothy and a guy by the name of Epaphroditus. In the year 2000, there was an Oscar-nominated movie. I'm going to see how many of you remember it. Would you have any Tom Hanks fans in here? Right? You like Tom? You guys remember the movie Castaway? So it's one of my favorite Hanks movies. I can't remember if he personally won an Oscar for it, but he probably should have. In this really unique film, Hanks plays the role of a man who has been stranded right on a desert island after the plane that he was on board. It was a FedEx delivery plane. It crashed. And so here he is. He survived it. And as the days of his horrific ordeal in isolation dragged on, he began to really long for companionship. Now, if you saw the movie, you know where I'm going. Because one of the packages from that plane, it washed up on shore, and it was a soccer ball. It was a Wilson brand soccer ball. And so Tom Hanks took that ball at some point, and if you remember, he drew a face on it. And he gave that ball a name. What was the ball's name? Wilson, of course. And for 4 years, Tom Hanks' best friend was a soccer ball named Wilson. What this illustrated to me, and I think to us, is the fact that, man, we need companionship. That we are created again to live with friendships. In large part, you are, whether you admit it or not, and I think most of us would readily admit it, but in large part, we are who we are today because of helping influences of certain people along the way. I know I sure have been. I think about my mom and dad. I think about men I call the two Glens. Their name won't mean anything to you, but Pastor Glenn Riggs and Pastor Glenn Lewis, those were the pastor and associate pastor of the church. When I was a 12-year-old boy and I came lost, as we say in the South, I was lost as a ball in high weeds. Like, I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know anything about the Lord. And these two men of our church, they invested in me and they shared Christ with me, and I became saved because of their ministry. I think about a pastor that's in heaven now by the name of Dr. Bobby Robertson. I think about a seminary professor by the name of Dr. Greg Mazak, a pastor that I worked under in North Carolina by the name of Tim Gammons, another pastor that served at his church for 30 years. Not the one you're thinking about. I'm going to get to him in a minute. But I was in Memphis, Tennessee, and there was a man that served in his church for 30 years, and he retired, and he called me, and he said, I'd like for you to candidate for our church, and I did, and I pastored for 5 years, and that man, Pastor Eddie Champion, after he retired, he mentored me in the faith, and little did I know that there'd be another man that would pastor a church for 30 years. It's crazy how God prepares you, right? And that man's name was Michael Rochelle. You may have heard of him. He's a great mentor in my life as well. Now, a lot of those names, amen, a lot of those names don't mean much to you. Some of those do. But the Apostle Paul was no different than us when it comes to this area. He needed friends. In fact, the scripture tells us that when he was sick, he needed Luke, Dr. Luke, to come along and help him. And then it tells us in other places that because Paul was unable to travel alone on his missionary journeys, that he needed friends like Barnabas and Silas. And so the bottom line is that Paul understood the importance of relationships. And he talks about two of his closest friends, and he gives some of the reasons that they meant so much to him. And so let's look at these guys, Timothy and Epaphroditus. First of all, Timothy, all right? Timothy and Paul were super close. He mentions Timothy more than anyone else in his writings, and we know that Paul wrote most of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Timothy's name appears in the opening salutation of six of Paul's books, and then if you remember, two of his books are addressed specifically to Timothy. The relationship was a lot like a father-son relationship. Most people believe that Paul led Timothy to faith in Jesus on Paul's first missionary journey. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 4, and then also in 1 Timothy 1, Paul literally calls Timothy his son in the faith. And so Timothy joins up with Paul on Paul's second missionary journey, and after that, the two of them remain fast friends for the rest of Paul's life. Timothy was with Paul in places like Philippi, right, and Thessalonica and Berea, and even when Paul was in prison in Rome, Timothy hung out with him some there. So that's Timothy. But what about this guy named Epaphroditus? Kind of a strange name. My wife was like, all right, you're going to make me read the scripture when I have to read Epaphroditus. That's very nice of you, right? But she did a great job reading that. But Epaphroditus, and unfortunately, we don't know as much about him as we do about Timothy. The only place that he's mentioned in the Bible is right here in the book of Philippians. Some people feel, though, that it's likely that Epaphroditus' parents were into Greek mythology, because evidently they named him after the Greek goddess of love, Aphrodite. And that's probably why where the name Epaphroditus came from. But somewhere along the way, we don't know exactly how it happened, but somewhere along the way, Epaphroditus understood that mythology is just that. It's a myth. And Epaphroditus heard the gospel. And he responded to the gospel of Jesus and became a follower of Christ. And the way that Paul talks about him in Philippians 2 lets us know that Epaphroditus was really gifted at encouraging others. He talks about the fact that he went all the way from Philippi to Rome to check on Paul while he was in prison. This would have been an 800-mile trip. Travel was not as easy back then as it is for us today. It would have taken as long as 6 weeks over rough terrain, and yet Paul tells us in our reading this morning that Epaphroditus was willing to make this dangerous trek to help bring aid to Paul in prison. And so in the descriptive details that Paul gives about these two guys, I want to draw out for us, with that kind of historical background, I want to draw out for us three principles of friendship. And three reasons why God created us to live in a community and what that means, all right? And so if you have your listening notes, you can jot these down. First one is this: true friends are rare, all right? They're rare. Not easy to find. They're not easy to come by. Paul and Timothy were extremely close. Look at verse 20 again of chapter 2. He said, I have no one else that is so like-minded, who will genuinely care about your interests. And the word like-minded in the original language there in the Greek, it was a very strong term. Watch me. It literally meant that Paul and Timothy were same-souled, that they had this kindred spirit, that they were same soul. They were like soulmates. They thought alike. They handled situations similarly. When Paul couldn't get back to check on one of the churches that he had started, to be able to check in on them and help them, he would send Timothy. So for Paul, having a friend like Timothy was almost like he could be at the same place, or two places, I should say, at the same time, because they had this kindred spirit. Kindred spirits like that can be uncommon. Paul also felt this way about Epaphroditus. Look how he referred to him back in verse 25. He said, I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, my co-worker, my fellow soldier, as well as your messenger and minister to my need. And guys, if you've ever had one of those same-souled, kindred spirit types of friends like Paul had with Timothy and Epaphroditus, then you know how precious those friendships are. You know how scarce they can be. You know the kind of friendships we're talking about? The ones where you don't have to constantly defend yourself, where you can let your hair down a little bit. I don't have as much hair as I used to let down, but let it down. You don't have to make excuses to those types of friends. You can just be you, and then they love you unconditionally, through the good and the bad. Those kinds of relationships, especially with our Christian brothers and sisters, they are precious gifts from God. Let me give you a second thing. True friends are rare, but true friends are also compassionate. True friends care. They take time to care. because it does take time to care. So they care and it shows. And Paul talked at length about the way that his friends genuinely cared for him and what he was going through. And if we're not careful, I think we can get so preoccupied. Cindy talked about it a little bit as she was praying for us this morning for the message, that we can get so preoccupied that we can become concerned only with ourself, with our own lives. Life is busy in 2019. Can I get a witness? I mean, it's just like with phones, they're attached to us, you know, and the internet and our jobs. And, you know, everyone in the household is working, whether you work in the home or outside the home. Many times the kids have jobs and there's a million different things going on. And so, and there's only so many hours in a day, right? And so when it comes to building friendships and building relationships and investing in other people, a lot of it boils down to priorities, to making time. I remember when I was in college in Indiana, and I enjoyed it, and I love the state of Indiana, so if you're from there, no offense, but like I grew up in the South, and you know, my parents, my dad was living in Louisiana. My parents split when I was very young. And so my dad was in Louisiana. He still is. My mom lived in Arkansas, and she still does as well. And so I was born in New Orleans, raised in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So here I am in Indiana, you know, Midwest U.S., and I miss mom and dad. You know, it's the first time I've really been away from home for any extended period of time in college and in seminary. And so I would call them. But, you know, we are spoiled Americans now with these cell phones. This was 1986. There was no cell phone, all right? I know for some of you that doesn't compute, but there were no cell phones back then. All we had was in our dormitory, we had two pay phones. Anybody remember those, all right? At the end of the hallway. There was a 10-minute time limit on them. And most of the guys in my dorms, you know, they had girlfriends and they were calling and talking to them for hours, you know, there's a line to get to the payphone. So there would sometimes be 2 or 3 weeks go by and I didn't call home. And I always remember when I would finally call back, and I remember my dad specifically, I would talk to him and I'd be reeling off all of these reasons why it had been so long since the last time we talked. And almost inevitably and almost verbatim, my dad would say this to me. He would say, "I get it, son, and I'm sorry those things," but he said, let me just let you know something, that we make time for the things and for the people that are most important to us. It's kind of like, you know, the dagger inside pulling it out. But it was so true, that we make time for the things that are important. So my question today is, are we consistently compassionate? Are we present types of friends? Are we more just like fair weather companions? I remember mom telling a story about 3-year-old Sunday school she used to teach for years. She taught 3-year-olds, and she loved it. And she talked about how one day, so just about every class, they would recite these scripture verses together, the little children. They would give them easy verses that they could learn and recite. And she came home one day, and she was talking about Proverbs 17:17, which says that a friend loves at all times, and that a brother is born for adversity. And they were teaching the kids that verse. And she said, one of the little 3-year-old girls raised her hand to say it. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And she said, a friend loveth at awful times. But that's true, right? Because if you're going to love somebody at all times, you're going to love them in the good times, you're going to love them in the awful times. True friends are there through the highs and through the lows. Number 3, true friends willingly sacrifice for each other. See, the truth is that Timothy and Epaphroditus exposed themselves by being friends to Paul. What do I mean by that? They exposed themselves to some ridicule and even to some danger for having a friend like Paul, because often Paul was scorned by society. He was in prison. And some of you know today, maybe you have a relative, or maybe even at some point in your life, you spent some time incarcerated, you were in jail, you were in prison. You know, just in our society, there's a shame that is cast upon that. But in these days, it was even greater. If you hung out or associated with someone who was in prison, you would have been considered a prisoner yourself. But true friends are willing, in spite of personal cost, to be compassionately sacrificial in the way that they love each other. Look, this is what Jesus himself talked about in John 15, 13, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13. There is no greater love, right? Jesus said there is no greater love than to literally lay down your life for one's friends. And if you were paying attention to the scripture reading this morning, this is basically what Epaphroditus did in reality for Paul. Look at Philippians 2:30. He came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me. See, true friends are not the type of people that ask, okay, so, you know, what is this relationship? What's it going to mean for me? Like, let's get a prenup, you know, with this relationship. What's it going to involve? How much time? Like, what are you expecting out of me? But a true friend says, what do you need? When do you need me? I'm there. Sometimes we talk about, what is it, like 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning, whatever it is, types of friends that you can call any time of the day and say, hey, look, I know you're hanging out in Omaha, Nebraska right now, but I need you in Las Vegas tomorrow, and they're going to be there for you. And those are the types of friends that sacrifice. They willingly sacrifice for each other. So what are some takeaways that we can personally grab today? If there's maybe already been some for you, but I'm going to lay out 3 as we close out this morning concerning friendship and concerning the role that it plays in our life to ensure that we can be joy. We can be joyful and have joy. Maybe we're not always happy. Maybe circumstances stink. But we can still have this, we're okay, right? And part of the reason Paul says is because we have relationships. So I want to ask ourselves 3 questions. I think the first one shows up as number 4 in your notes, but is, what kind of friend am I? Just be honest with yourself this morning. Are you known as a friend that is selfless, or maybe a friend that is sometimes selfish? And I think we all can be guilty of that. Remember Proverbs 18:24. The proverb said, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. So maybe think of it like this. Who is it in your life right now? Who is that someone or someones that you are personally pouring into? This may be somebody in your very own home. It may be somebody you work with. It may be somebody in your community group. It may be somebody through the Journey program. I don't know what it is. But who is it that you are pouring into? Maybe it's someone who doesn't know Jesus. And you do know Jesus, perhaps, right? You understand the truth of the gospel. And I know that sometimes the hardest people to talk to are the people that we're closest to. But you have the truth of eternal life. Do you love them enough? Are you the type of friend that will share the love of Christ with them? And by the way, I know sometimes I've experienced this. I'm sure you have. But when you put yourself out there for somebody, maybe you're like, they haven't really been the kind of friend to me like I feel like they should, but I'm going to go ahead and be that friend to them. And you put yourself out there, you might get hurt. And that's a risk that we have to take. But true friends go ahead and just be a friend. So let me give you the second thing that I want you to ask yourself. What kind of friends do I have? So what kind of friend am I? And then what kind of friends do I have? And I feel like it's in relationship to how friendly we are and how much of a friend we are to others. But who, I want you to just be grateful for a minute in your mind. Like, who are the Timothys? Who are the Epaphroditus? Who are the men? Who are the women that are those types of friends that love you, not just at all times, but especially even in the awful times? I can think about so many people. I'm blessed. People in this room, people on our staff. I think about my wife, right, of 30 years. I feel like your spouse should be your best friend. My 3 daughters, like I'm running out of fingers. I'm having to go to toes, and I can't count past 20. So, but I'm blessed. And many of you are, too. And then the last thing today, and if you've been in church very long, and if you have one of the cards with the notes on it, you probably were already able to fill in the last blank. But what a friend we have in Jesus. I mean, what kind of friend am I, and what kind of friends do I have? Most importantly, if you know Jesus, if you've been saved, if you're a born-again believer this morning, you have a friend in Jesus, not just the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he is a personal Savior. Look at John 15, 15. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But Jesus literally said to his followers, I call you friends because I have made known to you everything I heard from my Father. What a friend. Let's sing that first verse together if you remember the old hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. It's a privilege, right? What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And that's what a true friendship is like. Like, you can go to that person, you can just unpack how you're feeling, and that's the kind of friend that Jesus is. We can carry everything to him. Look, church, we praise him this morning. We glorify him this morning. We focus on him this morning. Why? We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. It's the only reason that we can, in turn, give our hearts and give our lives to Jesus, because he turned his eyes upon us first and loved us while we were still sinners. He died for us. And so he alone is worthy of our honor and glory and praise. Would you stand with me this morning as we close? And as you stand, if you're able to do that today, if you would also bow your heads, maybe close your eyes for just a minute. I want to pray for us. I'm going to ask our pastors and ministry leaders to make their way to the front of the aisles. They're going to be here for our response time. And listen to me. Maybe I'm preaching about friendship this morning, and you're like, Brett, that's great for you, but I'm not trying to like be depressive this morning, but maybe you're like, you know, I don't have that many friends. I couldn't get past like one, two, or three. Let me just tell you, my heart goes out to you. Thank God for those that you can call your friends, but I just want to direct your attention, especially to the last thing we said, that Jesus wants to be your friend. That he came to earth to be a human being, 100% human and yet 100% God, so he could identify with you and walk with you. And by the way, look, you're in a church right now where people want to walk with you with what's going on in your life. And so in just a moment as we sing, if you're a guest, if you're a member, it doesn't matter who you are, but if God has spoken to you and you want someone to talk to you about what it means to know Jesus as Savior. We talked about baptism this week with VBS. Maybe you would like to know about baptism. We can give you information about that, about joining the church. Some of you have been hanging out with us. You've been visiting several times. Maybe it's time you just step out as we sing and come talk to somebody about what it would look like for you to join Shadow Hills or whatever it might be that we can help you with. As soon as we begin to sing, would you come this morning? If God has spoken to you, we want you to feel free to be able to do that. You're in a safe place today. Father, bless as we sing and as we get ready to close the service. And I pray that you would move in our hearts, that you would free us to make decisions for you today. We love you so much. We ask these things in Jesus' name. So if God has spoken to you, you feel free to come even right now.